This morning I am going to start this gospel meeting off on going over questioning authority. When we were kind of planning this, we were kind of discussing this a little bit, and we thought it might be good to go over to have us refocus who our true authority is. Because I think sometimes we get confused. We see a lot of the laws being passed and mandates being passed by our government, and we forget to judge them against the true source of authority, which is God, and who we're going to follow first. And there's many more other things that I got in here other than that. All right, the modern world detests authority, but worships relevance. Our Christian conviction is that the Bible has both authority and relevance, and the secret of both is Jesus Christ. I love that. I love that, because I think sometimes we lose track of what our true authority is, right? We get into this world, and this world has all kinds of different things that are pushing upon us, and sometimes we just follow it without thinking, what does Christ really want me to do here? And I think this lesson hopefully will refocus us a little bit and have us realize that Christ is our authority. God is our only authority that we really, truly need to follow. And man's authority must line up with his if we're going to follow it. So we'll get into it. Colossians 3:17. I go through the ESV like I've always said, so it's pretty much the same. It might be just a little bit different than your version, but the idea will be the same. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We've went over this many times here, but I wanted to reemphasize this. I know a lot of people that go to mega churches with rock bands and stuff like this and all this entertainment and everything, and they say, well, we do it because Christ wants us to worship Him. I go, well, where do you find what you're doing in the Bible? They go, it doesn't matter. We just have to do it in the name of Christ. Whatever we do in the name of Christ is good. I said, well, what does that mean? I can do whatever I want and just put Christ's label on it and it's okay? That's not what this means at all. So when you look up the meaning of it, that is the prophetic spelling. Definition really is authority. Has Christ given us authority? Has God given us authority to do what we're doing? Or are we just doing it because that sounds good to us? Entertainment. Is it easier to keep these kids in this church if we had rock bands with smoke flowing out, just crazy loud and having parties all the time? It'd be easier to keep them in the building, but we're not keeping them in Christ, right? That's what we got to worry about. Where's our authority? Is our authority coming from us and our feelings, or is it coming from Christ, God, through the Bible? So Matthew 21:23-27. Most of us know this one. So before this, we got to remember Jesus was preaching in the temple. We always remember when Jesus was teaching, how were the Pharisees and scribes and the Jews reacting? They were all acting in awe, right? They're going, where does he know this stuff? And remember, the Pharisees and scribes were trying to corner Jesus for a long time right here. They were trying to get him because he was taking away their power and he was saying things that were going in their minds against the law. So they were trying to get him and they couldn't get him on any of this. He was teaching stuff that they could not answer to. And it was interesting to them, but they were starting to get mad. So this time, and when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? So Jesus is preaching these things, which they were at all with, and they're going, well, who gave you the authority to preach these things? Right? Jesus answered them, I will also ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then also I will tell you by what authority I do these things. So they come and ask Christ, by whose authority are you doing this? Jesus says, I'll tell you, but I got quite one question for you. And the question is, the baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? Now, how many different options did Christ give? There's two options, right? From heaven or man. Did God give it or did man give it? And they discussed it among themselves. So Oh boy, he's got this question for us. Sidebar. Have you ever saw a sidebar in a court? Sidebar. I have no recollection. You know? So this is kind of what they're doing here. They're doing a sidebar. How are we going to answer this guy? Because he's pinning us down here. He's pinning us hard. How are we going to answer this? And they discuss it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? See, they weren't believing John. They weren't believing in the baptism of John. But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all told that John was a prophet. So if we say that it came from man, the crowd is going to come on us and take it over because they believe he's a prophet, and we don't want to try to cause any stir, right? But Jesus simply said, they said to Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So by saying that last sentence, Jesus answered their question. Right? I'm not going to tell you the answer because you already know the answer. You know it came from heaven. His baptism came from heaven. So our question for us is what we're doing is the authority that we're following, is it from God or man? We have to look into our lives here. We have to look into our individual lives. The things that I follow, am I following God first or am I putting man first? So who comes first? How about when we vote? I know it's a touchy subject. Politics is a touchy subject, but it shouldn't be. There should be one authority that we put over our vote, and that's God. Are we voting on God's laws and God's rules? Are we trying to put his stuff first? Or are we putting our own wants first? Are we putting lower taxes first? Or something like that? Or are we putting God's laws first and making sure our vote lines up with what he wants us to? How about when we choose a job? Is this job going to allow me to serve God? Or is this job going to take away my ability to serve him as I should? That's a tough decision sometimes, right? If we're looking for a job and we're out of work and all of a sudden this job comes up, and they say you got to work all at nights and you got to work Sundays and all this, what are we going to say? Where do we fall? I can't tell you the answer that you need to give. You need to figure that for yourself. This is a good one for the teens that are here too. When we choose a spouse, a girlfriend, or a boyfriend, when we start dating, is this person going to help me find Christ and stay with Christ and walk with God? Or is this person going to drag me away or put so much pressure on me, it's going to be harder? My advice to myself was I wanted to find somebody at least had the godly base. So I didn't want to have somebody trying to drag me away, but I drug myself away. I worried so much about that, I drug myself away. I just let myself fall away. But I would give my advice to any teen or anybody starting to date everything, try to find somebody that's got a godly way of them. At least they know God and they're trying to find God and they're trying to follow God. That's the kind of heart that you want to find. But we need to put our godly desires, which is spiritual desires, over our fleshly desires when we're finding a spouse, boyfriend, or girlfriend. How about when we're obeying a law? There's a lot of laws out there, right? If you're gay, you can get married. You can get an abortion. You can do all these things. Are we going to follow those laws? Or are we going to put God's law first, which is love your neighbor like yourself, don't take anybody's blood, don't kill, all this stuff, marriage between a man and a woman? Are we going to put those in front of our society wants, our society norms today? How about supporting causes and donating time and money? Are we putting God first there? If we give some money or give some time to a cause, what is God thinking about that? Is God approving of that? I think sometimes we do stuff without thinking about these things, right? We just do it because that's what we've always done, maybe, especially vote. We just always done it this way, so we're just going to keep doing it. Maybe it's time for us to start thinking deeper. How does God want us to do these things? Making a spiritual decision. For the young ones, especially here, baptism. There's a couple different ways you can look at it. You can look at it that, oh, my mom and dad are baptized, my grandma and grandpa are baptized, all my people here are baptized. I'm just going to get baptized because they are baptized. That's a fleshly way to look at it, right? Just to fit in. I'm going to fit in. I'm going to be baptized so I don't get pressure, and I'm going to fit in. God wants you to look at it this way. He wants you to look at it that you know that you're a sinner. You need someone to save yourself, save you from them sins. And Christ is the only way. And Christ is the only way through his baptism. That's how you get into Christ. That's how you become contacted with his blood and become one of God's children. It's a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. We don't want to just get baptized because we want to fit in. We want to be baptized to be into Christ and to walk with him. Two different things to think about there, God or man. And everything, all these things and everything else that we do, God should be the primary source of our authority. So when we look at our stuff, when we look at all them things right there that we do, are we doing things because God would approve of these things that we're doing? Or are we doing these things just because we do them? And that's what we think is okay. And we think is good to go. So that's something we need to look at. Authority. Which one do we want to go towards, man or God? Acts 4, 13 through 21. All right, if we remember this, set this up, Peter and John were preaching. They're spreading the word. And they got drug in front of the council. And they're giving their defense in front of the council. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, so we're talking about the council here, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. What were Peter and John when they were growing up? Were they big tax collectors, stuff like that? I mean, big people on the boards or something like that? No, they were just lowly men, right? And that's what these guys, I'm sure they knew them before they came to Christ. They knew they were just fishermen and lowly men. And they recognized these guys that they had been with Jesus. That's kind of, they said they were uneducated common men, and they were astonished what they were saying. Oh, they were with Jesus. But seeing a man who was healed beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So, the day before, they were going. Remember, Peter and John were going in to the temple, and this guy was outside of the gates begging for money, right? And he couldn't walk. And Peter healed him. Peter says, "I've got something that money can't buy. And I heal you in the name of Jesus Christ." And he got up and walked. And this guy had been lame forever. And everybody knew that. And all of a sudden, in council, this guy's right beside him standing. How are you going to argue that, right? How are you going to argue that? They couldn't. They couldn't. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. If you don't see a pattern here, it's another sidebar, right? Okay, we're pinned against the wall. Sidebar, I have no recollection of that. Saying, "What shall we do with these men? For what notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." So everybody knows what these guys have done. Everybody knows that this man is healed. They know all these other things that these guys have done. We cannot deny it. There's no denying it. We can't fight it. "In order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anything in this name," Christ's name. We're going to say, you can't speak. Don't do it, right? Now, this is the government, pretty much. I mean, this is the government that had power to instill laws. You're not going to speak about Jesus Christ anymore. You're just not going to do it. You can leave, but you're not going to speak anymore on it. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop it. We don't want to hear another word of Jesus being taught. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard." We're not going to shut up. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep declaring Christ everywhere we go. What would we do here? All of a sudden the government says, "You guys cannot preach or teach about Christ anymore." what would we do? What would we do when they said, you guys can't meet anymore? What did we do? How many people would just dissipate? Who are we following? Are we following God or are we following man? God's given us very simple instructions. Keep meeting together, keep lifting one another up, and keep going to the world and preaching the gospel. Simple, simple commands. If the government comes in and says, we got to stop preaching, what would you guys say? I would hope you guys would say, no, we're going to keep preaching this word because this is our life. This isn't what we do. This isn't just a thing. This is who we are. We preach the gospel because we know through Christ that's the only peace and that's the only salvation is through Him. We have to get the word out. But what did we do when it said, what did all, a lot of churches around do when it says you guys can't meet together to keep each other safe? Boom. People stop meeting. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. The government's going to tell us we can't preach this word anymore. It's going to happen. All the laws that they're passing, we're preaching against half the laws that they're passing. This government isn't going to stand for it forever. They're going to come. They're going to bring a hammer down upon us. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow man? We're going to have to make that decision. It's not going to be an easy one. And when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For they were all praising God for what had happened. So when Peter and John stood up for God, what happened? People praised for that. I think sometimes we see fear and we don't realize one thing. Fear is an expectation. It's not always a reality, right? A lot of times when we're afraid of stuff, we're afraid of the unknown. Why are we afraid of the unknown when we have the known that never changes, that's standing in our corner if we're following Him, and that's God? If we're standing with God, we have the known. We don't have to worry about the unknown. Now, if we get thrown in jail, if I'm standing up here preaching one day and they drag me to jail, hey, I'm with Paul and Peter and John. I'm in good company. And there's millions of people that have been put in jail because they're preaching Christ through the years. So it's no big deal, right? But we've got to focus on why it's no big deal. Why it's no big deal is because I'm following God and not man. I'm following the man that can, the God that can save my soul forever. I'm not worried about the man that can only kill my flesh. I'm going to follow the one that can actually save my soul. What is not authority? This is important. I think sometimes we have an idea of what true authority is, which it isn't. And I hate to say it, as leadership, sometimes we think we have authority where we don't have authority. Your opinion is not authority. My opinion is not authority. We think it is. That's half the problem in the church today. We think our opinion is authority. It's not. It's just not authority. The preacher's opinion is not authority. Guess what? The elder's opinion is not authority. Society's opinion is not authority. I think that's one of the bigger traps that we fall into too as a church. We're worried about pleasing the world. We're worried about being, I don't know what you'd even call it, in with the world until they like us so they come and see us. That's not going to work. They need to see something different with us if they're going to come and see us. They don't want everything that's like the world. Number one, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like Christ. So if we got something completely different than the world, that will attract the right people. Not everybody's the right person, not at that time. So we got to be careful we don't try to fall into the society's opinion. Media reports are not authority. Staying away from one another to keep everybody safe is not authority. God is the authority. God says, keep coming together. Keep building one another up. Especially in the hard times. Especially in the hard times. Man's law that goes against God's law is not authority. Period. It's not authority. We can get punished like it's the authority, but it's a man's authority, not God's authority. For us as Christians, man's law that goes against God's is not authority. Man-made creeds or rule books. I put this one in because everybody knew I was Methodist. And it was interesting. My great uncle was a preacher. And every month he would get a big, at that time it was a letter That was actually over the telegraph. It was crazy. We had old, that was back in the 80s, old-fashioned stuff, right? We didn't get emails or nothing then. So he would lay it out, and he would have every sermon that he had to preach laid out for him. And then he had stuff inside the sermon that he had to cover. And then inside that, he had the songs that we must sing. And then inside, it was just crazy. It was like a little triangle that met at the end. It was kind of weird. It was like a pyramid scheme, and that's what I called it. But everything was laid out because there was an authority in the Methodist church that wasn't in the local church. It was in Des Moines in Iowa. That was your authority structure, right? Everybody knows the Catholic Church. The Pope is the authority there. What the Pope says is doctrine. He can change doctrine. He can say, this is what it is, and you must follow it. That is a man-made creed and a rule book that we don't follow. We follow one rule book, right? That's the Holy Bible. That is our rule book. Anything else is nothing. Anything other than God's word is nothing. It's just opinion, right? We just went with all these things. All these opinions are not authority. As much as I want my opinion to be authority, it's not. And I'm kind of glad it's not, because I wouldn't want that burden on my shoulders. So just to close this up, I told you it was going to be short this morning. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when we're talking about authority, there's one place for authority and one place only, right? Jesus even said where the authority lies. And we're not talking about just here and there. Where did he say it was on? In heaven and on earth. His authority reigns over everything. Everywhere, every minute, no matter what. So when us here in the church, us leadership, start putting stuff in front of you that is not lining up with the Bible, it's not authority. Stand up to that. Let us know. Let us know. When your local government starts putting laws down that doesn't line up, let us know. Let us know. Let them know, right? When the federal government starts putting laws upon us, let them know. I mean, it's hard to change laws, but we're never going to change anything if we don't start speaking up. I know Christians always say, man, look at this world, how bad this country's getting and everything. Well, how many silent Christians does it take? Christians sometimes seem like a lot of people say, just be quiet, be a good Christian, be quiet, get over the corner and be quiet. These laws are going against God's laws. What did the prophets, what did the apostles do when people went against God? They spoke up. They preached the word even harder, right? They didn't back down. Because God wants us to have a government that rules for Him. That's when the government is set towards God by God, right? Because He wants government to rule in accordance to His will. Then we're going to have a perfect government. If they go against His will, that's when we're having what we have today. We got corruption, we got all kinds of garbage going on, wars. We always have wars, of course. But worrying about our government, it's nothing but corruption right now. And that's because Christians, I believe, have been silent for too long. We're all about yipping about and complaining about stuff. But how are we trying to help it? How are we trying to help it in our small circle of the world? How can we forward that on? Are we going to follow man or are we going to follow God? That's the whole thing about this morning, the first lesson this morning. I'm trying to get our mind set upon that for the rest of these lessons. Because Darren is going to bring us, God reveals His authority. So we know where the authority is. He's going to help us dig into that a little bit more during worship service. And then there are some limitations that Josh is going to go over. So I just hope you guys realize that this is more of a pressing issue than we might think it is. Especially what we've went through in the last couple of years, right? Governments got put on a plateau where they don't deserve to be in the last few years, right? And God has got pushed down where He doesn't deserve to be. God should always be on top. No matter what happens to us, God must be on top. So we might get fired. We might get sick and die. We might get put in prison. But we better be standing for God when these things happen or we're going to be in trouble. So that is my lesson this morning.